In the book of Isaiah, which we read from just a few moments ago, we have a very telling verse that says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." If we would break that verse down, there is an abundance of precious information that is given to us. Unto us, a child is born. I'm forgetting everything today. Children, you can go to children's church. Unto us, a child is born. And we think of the wonderful sign that was given by Isaiah when he said, "And this shall be a sign to you, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which is interpreted, "God is with us." And that brings us to a second thought that is given to us in that verse. "For unto us a child is born, but a son is given." And who is that son? Well, we know that that son is the very Son of God. There are those today who say that nowhere in Scripture does Jesus claim to be divine. Does he claim to be God? Well, off the top of my head, I remember when Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and it will be sufficient." And Jesus said, "Philip, have you been so long with me and not understood that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father? For I and the Father are one." It would be very difficult to convince the Pharisees that Jesus never claimed to be God, because if you will remember, when they brought him before Pilate, and Pilate would have let him go, they said, "We have a law, and by our law, this man should die because he has made himself to be God." They well understood that Jesus was declaring that he was the Son of God. "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders." And that's a kingdom we look forward to. Now, I'm not going to get political today. I try not to be political, but I will tell you that if I am any judge of what is going on in this country, we are in a real mess. And only God is going to get us out of that. But one day, Jesus will come. And the Bible declares that the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord, and he shall reign upon this earth. I'm looking forward to that kingdom. That kingdom, Jesus could come at any time, as far as I'm concerned. And then it gives some wonderful titles: Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. But this is the one I want to concentrate on today: the Prince of Peace. In Luke chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, which we read together, it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." We've already mentioned this verse here, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, so we'll go on out. Go on. "A mood of severe melancholy overtook American poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. His wife had accidentally set her clothes on fire while lighting candles and died in 1861. The American Civil War had broken out in April the same year. Longfellow's oldest son had run off and enlisted in the Union Army. On November 27th, 1863, while in a skirmish at the Battle of New Hope Church, Virginia, 17-year-old Lieutenant Charles Appleton Longfellow was severely wounded. His father brought him home to care for him. Reflecting on all the horrors associated with the bloody conflict and seeing the wounding of his son, Longfellow sat down at his desk on Christmas Eve, 1863, and penned a poem he titled Christmas Bells. Originally, it was a strong anti-war tune, but later some of the political partisan phrases were modified when it was put to music in 1872. Today, we know it as I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. It is a classic carol offering a message of hope that God is in control, and he is, by the way, and that peace will return to earth. Stanzas 4 and 5 declare both the harsh reality of life and the hope we have in Christ. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Today we find ourselves, if I'm any judge of current events, a country more divided than at any other time in our history since the Civil War. Politicians are more concerned about their political advantage in opinion polls than the good of our nation. And who can trust the national media? I'm sorry, I guess I did get political. But what I said was true. I am reminded of the words of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 9. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? That is a wonderful verse. You know what our problem is today? Is that as a country, as a society, as a culture, basically, we have rejected the word of God. If there is one thing that I try to encourage you to do every Sunday is to get into the word, to read the word of God. The word of God is truth. It will make you wise. It will give you the strength to face every problem of this life. And it will help conform you to God's goal for you to be conformed more and more to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. Look at it again. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken because they have rejected the word of God. Two verses later, for they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace. Peace when there is no peace. There will never be a lasting peace in this old world until it is finally and eternally ruled by the Prince of Peace. Doesn't matter all the plans they come up with. You know what the problem is? It is the basic flaw in the nation of human beings, the nature of human beings. We are flawed creation. We are sinners. And the only difference between you and the most vilest sinner that is alive today is the grace of our God. We are saved not because we deserve it, but we are saved by grace. You say that's pretty idealistic, but isn't that exactly the way Jesus wants to live our lives? Isn't that the ideal? I'm afraid what we have done in American Christianity is we have become satisfied with good enough. Well, all God expects me to do is the best I can do. Really? Thank you, Scott. Really? I'm going to really miss Scott. I really am. I'm going to have to train one of you guys to take his place. Actually, it'd be better if Scott trained somebody to take his place. What was I saying?
About good ideals.
The ideal. If all God expected of you and me is to be the best we can be, then why did he give us the Holy Spirit to live within us? Don't you think maybe he expects us to be better than we can be when we lean upon him and not upon ourselves? Isn't that what Solomon said? Lean not upon your own understanding, Because there's somebody that lives in us that is greater than he that is in the world. Doesn't it make sense that when Jesus said to us, listen to what he says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. I think we have sacrificed the ideal of who we are to be as Christians because we're just a little too concerned about fitting in. There was a day when Christians did not mind standing out. Now we just want to fit in. We're kind of going under the radar. It's like we're wearing spiritual camouflage. God wants us to be more than what we are. More than what we can be when we yield ourselves to the power of God's Holy Spirit. If you want to talk about peace today, what do you think the opioid crisis is all about? It's about people who cannot get peace. And so they're looking for something else to accommodate them, to settle them down, to make them feel better, to help them face life because peace has escaped them. When in reality, what we need, what the world needs is what we know about, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Prince of Peace. See, not only should one day we rejoice that he will rule this world, but we ought to rejoice right now that he is the ruler in our hearts. The peace with God. That's what we need. The cynicism of this world can steal the truth of the peace we have in Jesus. Temporary problems rob us of the joy of the eternal promises of God. You need to be very careful as a believer, that you do not get caught up in all of this mass hysteria that is going on in the world. The world is going to end in 12 years. I'm not sure it's got that much time. I don't know how much time it's got. But let me tell you something about my God. He's got a sense of humor just enough that it may end in 11 years or it may end in 13 years, but it won't end in 12. By the way, it's good to see you all today. Good to have Evan and Rachel here. I knew you were here. I was just looking for the right time to say hello. Peace. All this political mumbo jumbo that is going on. You know what? If you let yourself, you can start talking to the TV set. Do you do that? You ever do that? I do it usually during football games. Ah, come on! There goes my earpiece. I probably don't need this thing. They just record me. Let me remind you of this, that the TV can't hear you, nor is it going to respond to you. But there is one who responds to you when you talk to him. It's a thing called prayer that we ought to be doing that would help us to be more than what we are, than who we are, and would bring peace. What Satan wants to do to every Christian is just what I'm saying. He wants to steal your peace. Because if he can steal your peace, he can steal your joy. Because he also knows, remember what Nehemiah said? The joy of the Lord is your strength. He knows if he can get your joy, he can get your strength, and you just become some other weak, anemic Christian that just kind of fits in when God wants us to stand out. If he steals our joy, he also robs us of our peace. Listen to the words of Jesus, John chapter 14, verse 27. By the way, these words were spoken on the night of his arrest. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, the Apostle Paul said, "For he is our peace." Now, let me ask you something today. Do you have a real, vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ? Is he real to you? I mean, real on a daily basis? Do you just know about him, or do you really know him? Because it's not enough to know about him. You have to know him. Paul said these words, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death." He is our peace. 3 points here this morning. Number one, Jesus gives peace. "Peace I leave with you." That's what he said. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. "For it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell." That means he is total deity. "And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." Isaiah 53, 5, "The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed." You see, what we do not remember is that before we were saved, we were the enemy of God. We were at enmity with God. Our sin was repulsive to him. But the Bible says he made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Did you get that? He became sin that we could be righteous before Almighty God. Romans chapter 5, 1 through 5. "Therefore, being justified by faith," that's necessary, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein you stand, and rejoice in the hope of his glory. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." To be at peace with God means, number one, it opens the door of prayer and access to God. See, you don't have to go through a priest. You don't have to come to me and say, "Pastor, would you pray for me?" Well, I will pray for you. But you can go to your Heavenly Father and you can let him know what's going on in your heart. You don't have to go through me. You don't have to go through an intermediary. You see, that's one of the things that happened when Jesus died on the cross. Remember that the veil of the temple that separated the holy place from the most holy place, from the very throne room of God, that at the point that Jesus died on the cross, that the veil of the temple was ripped from the top to the bottom, opening up God's throne, saying, "You're welcome here. You don't have to go through a priest. You have access to God in prayer." It brings joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Do you have joy today? Let me ask you this. When you walk out of here and nobody is watching you, do you act like you have joy? Do you ever smile? Do you ever say anything pleasant to someone else? Do you act like you are a conqueror in Christ? Or do you look so beaten down by your countenance, no one would ever guess that you're a Christian? It brings joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Woo, boy, that sounds good to me. How about you? Say it with me. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now you know the words. Let's do it again. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what God wants for you. That's what his peace provides for you. It teaches patience and endurance. There is no spiritual gift of quitting. It takes no talent to quit. There are a lot of Christians who have quit on God. There are a lot of believers who die long before they're buried. I love the story of the epitaph on the tombstone of an old woman who was buried up in New England that said she lived till she died. Are you? Do you have life in you? Do you act like you have life in you? I'll move on. It assures hope. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. You see, in reality, it's saying there that we already are heirs to God and we can claim the promises of our God. And it's because of the peace that only Jesus can give. And it produces love. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. I had a lady one time call me, and a member of my church in Baltimore, and she said, I'm going to leave the church. And I said, and why is that? And she said, because there is two families in this church that don't like me. I said, well, you're doing better than me. 2 out of 150, that's not bad at all. I wish I could bat that percentage, you know? Let me tell you something. You look around, your brothers and sisters in Christ, you have an obligation to love them. You have an obligation to love each other. See, my fondest thing about Christmas, last week, I got to spend, I preached in Louisiana, but I got to spend less than 24 hours with my grandsons. I have not seen my grandson since my granddaughter's wedding a year ago July. I got to tell now, I you know, I'm kind of vertically challenged. It's called short, in case you had a hard time working that through that thing. My shortest grandson is 6'2". My tallest grandson is 6'3". And I feel like I was in the land of the giants. But there is nothing like being with family. A few days from now, Christmas Eve, we'll go down to South Jersey, be with my granddaughters. Because I want to be with the people I love. But here's something that we need to remember. You and I are family. If you don't love me, that's your problem. You had an issue with God. If I don't love you, that's my problem. I have an issue with God. Because we are not suggested, but commanded to love one another. Peace brings love. Luke chapter 1, verses 78 and 79. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. That was speaking of the coming birth of Jesus Christ. If all the world knew his peace, there would be peace on earth and goodwill toward all mankind. Second point, Jesus' peace remains. My peace I give unto you. The Greek present tense is used here. It means that Jesus has given us peace, past tense, present tense possession, and that he keeps giving us peace throughout our Christian pilgrimage. My peace I give unto you. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8. I took this from the New Living Translation. I just like the way it goes. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Did you get that? Did you? Let's read that together. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Read it on. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And now, dear brothers and sisters, I'll do this by myself. And I can go alone now. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Four things there. I'll finish this, I guess. Not everyone who is at peace with God will experience the peace of God. The passage tells us of four prerequisites for sustaining the peace of God. Number one, trust in God. Don't worry about anything. Number two, pray. Pray about everything. Number three, be thankful. Thank him for all he has done. Have you just stopped and just thanked him this week for something he's done for you? Spend time. You know, a lot of times we treat prayer like it's our Christmas list. You know, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Well, we ought to treat it like it's a list of thankful blessings. Thank you, Lord. 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 I didn't have a heart attack this week. How about you? I'm glad for that, you know. I wasn't in an automobile accident this week. How about you? I thank you, Lord, for taking care of me. Because God knows those other people are terrible drivers. Not me. I'm sure it's not me. Be thankful. Think positive. Here we go. Here we go. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Christians are to be positive thinkers. We've read the end of the book. We know how it ends. We win. Number three, only Jesus can give lasting peace. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. The world will offer you substitutes. It's like artificial sweetener. Shouldn't the name artificial warn us that something's wrong? And that's exactly what Satan offers you. He offers you things that you think will help you, will give you peace. But he'll choke you on those things. And they won't last. Everything the world has to offer is only temporary. 1 John 2:17, and the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. God offers what the world cannot give, nor can it take away. 1 Peter 1, listen to these words carefully. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure, undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. It is the peace that Longfellow found in the midst of personal tragedy. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong will fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill toward men. This is the message of Christmas. It is the same today as it was when it was first delivered to shepherds out there on a Judean hillside. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Would you bow your heads with me?